Shalom everyone, and we are again in Parashat Lech Lecha. It's like this for almost more than 3,000 years. And we are reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. One of the most, some of the best and known verses in the whole five books of Moses. Vayomer Adonai el Avram, and God says to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimolodecha mibet avicha. Move on from your country, from your birthplace, from the house of your father, to the land I will show you. Ve'ezcha legoy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Vavarcheka, I'll bless you. Vagadla shmecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'ehye bracha, and you will become a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless the ones who bless you. Umkalelecha or, and I will curse the ones who curse you. Venivrechu vecha kol mishpechot adamah, and all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Adonai, and Avram went the way God spoke to him. Vayelech ito Lot. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. Avram ben 5 shanim ve'shivim shana b'tzeto mi'charan. And Avram is 75 years old when he leaves Haran. Haran, we read last week's portion in Parashat Noach, at the end of all the story of Noach, that Abram was born, and he and his family left his birthplace, that was Ur, today the south of Iraq. They went all the way to Haran, which is southeast of Turkey of today. And they will spend a lot of years over there. And then they got a message to come down to Canaan, the promised land, known today from this reading as the promised land. So Avram is taking his wife and his nephew, all their property, and they came to the land of Canaan. And then he speaks about Avram traveling the land by the orders of the creator of God. And the whole parasha is full of God's promises to Avram. I'll give this land to your offsprings. And he's building their altars. And he's moving from one place to another. He's building altars every place. And he's going to the south. And there's a famine. He goes to Egypt. Lots of stories in this parasha. And a lot of people have a little problem. We have to remember the stories of the Torah. They are not really history. And you cannot judge them or value them as history of real events. Yes, there was Avram. Yes, he was born in Ur. Yes, he moved to Haran. Yes, he came to the land of Canaan. But this is not what the Torah is describing to us. So many, many great Kabbalists explain to us that the whole story of the process of the creation, from the great light of the middle point that the whole universe is one, and how the light descends now into our physical world, and how the physical world has been created step by step. It's just a story of the patriarchs, while the Torah is giving us the secrets of the creation of the universe and the process of evolution. The word evolution, or in Hebrew, hishtalshelut, is a very ancient word, a word in the study of Kabbalah. And it's starting from here. Why? Let us try to understand what is the story. And the story is like, you know, Abraham gets a message from God, Lech lecha me'artzecha, leave your place. But it's not his place. He was born in Ur. That's not his birthplace. This is not his father's place. They are foreigners. They're refugees, they're runaway dissidents, whatever you call them. They run away from Mesopotamia, where their family resided for many generations. And now they're coming to Haran. And from Haran, they moved to Canaan. And so what is the story about? So we have to understand what Lech Lecha means. And Lech Lecha means, first of all, in simple Hebrew, move on, get out of here, which means don't stay here, don't stick to where you are right now. It's a time to get on moving. This is simply Lech Lecha. But this is much deeper than that. But what's really important about this message is that, you know, why can't Avram sit quietly where he chose? Why didn't go to the land of Canaan directly from Ur? You know, that could happen because it says so in the end, the last verses of Parashat Noach. It says very clearly, chapter 11, verse 31, it says, and Terach, Abraham's father, takes his son and his nephew and his grandson Lot and Sarai, and they left from Ur Kasdim. Where to? They were meant to go to Canaan. But on the way, somehow they reach Haran, and you know, you don't have to go. It's like if you look at the map, you could go from Ur, you go along the Euphrates River, you cross into what is today northwest Syria, and then you go down along the Fertile Crescent till you come to the land of Canaan. Why did they move on to the north to Haran? We don't know. It does say so. However, the Zohar does say so. But before that, Abraham is bringing to the world a message, a very important message, maybe the most important message of all of them. And there is the message of Lech Lecha, move on. There are many layers to that message of Lech Lecha, but the message of Lech Lecha is, and he's continued to move on. With also, when he comes to the land of Canaan, he continues to move on. He doesn't sit in one place for too long. From Shechem to Elon Moreh, and then Hebron and Be'er Sheva, he's always on the go, right? He's over 75 already, and he's still, for decades, he's still on the go. What is our message? Because again, we are not reading the story in order to have some gossip about an old man that lived some 4,000 years ago. Okay? We have to remember, if you don't read it with an attitude, with the approach of what's in it for me, okay, what do I take from that in order to become a better person? You'll never be able to understand the story of Abraham and not of Sarah. And not Isaac and Rivka and nothing, nothing. Because there's one message, and this is the message of Abraham. What did I say first? You have to read it with the purpose of how do I improve? And that's exactly the story. The story is that there is an evolution, there is a process, there is a process that always leads. Sometimes you can see that. Sometimes you see a decline, you see a disaster, you see a trouble, you see darkness. But always, even when you go down, it's called Yerida Letzorech Aliyah. You fall for the purpose of rising up all over again. This is the message that Abraham gave to the whole world. And this message is like, you know, when you wind that system, that the moment you wind it, it's starting to move on, or like you charge and now it's operative. Abraham is charging humanity with something that didn't stop for the last 4,000 years. And what is it? It is that idea that you have to move on. That idea that there is an evolution. That idea that even when humanity is in a very terrible, dark decline, there's always a way out of it. Sooner or later, it will look bleak, hopeless, terrible for a year, 2 years, 3 years. However, always around the corner, there will be another sunrise. There will be another revelation that when you look backwards, you realize that whatever horrible atrocities we experienced in the past, finally, could be a very heavy price, but finally, humanity will move on and above. And that is the message. Abraham brought to the world an idea that, through research, if you read the book, The Gifts of the Jews by Thomas Cahill, and he explains it really clearly because Thomas Cahill read the books of the Library of Ur. Yes, they found the Library of Ur, Abraham's hometown. And he read those books. He learned the language, of course. And he says, when you read those books, this is depressing. Words like hope, change, transformation, innovation, moving up did not exist in the ancient Ur language. Why? They didn't have past tense, they didn't have future tense because they did not think that anything can ever be different. What was will always will be. Things will never change. Which means being part of an idol-worshipping society is one of the most horrible places humanity ever been to. Again, when we think about the gods of the ancient polytheistic civilizations, either the Mesopotamians, the Greek, the Egyptian, the Romans, and to move on to the Aztecs and so on, they were not nice. They were very, like we can even say, if you learn ancient mythologies, the gods were the epitome of all the worst traits in human beings, which means you could not expect from the gods any real help. What you did expect the gods is to be jealous. That if you excel in something, they'll take it away from you and get even with you. How dare you? The message was you have to lay low, and the word hope was not even mentioned, which means hope means that you expect a change for the good. No, don't expect it. If you submit, and lay low, and basically overcome your desire for something better. When you die, maybe you'll have better life. I'm not so sure. But if you try to challenge anything, to challenge the gods, which means if you're trying to break any laws, and what are the laws? Everything should stay the same, don't change. Abram is moving, Lech Lecha. He's moving on. He's moving up the ladder of transformation and change. He leaves us, humanity, the legacy. We cannot get rid of that legacy ever anymore. It's intimidating. Many times it's terribly intimidating. The message that Abram is bringing to the world, the message that later on, few centuries later, it has been crystallized in what is called the five books of Moses. And then later on in the other 19 books of the Tanakh. And later on with the with the oral teachings of the Mishnah and the Zohar and the Talmud and all the commentaries of thousands of years, the message is still on. Why did I get up in the morning? Because I'm here to change. Why did we survive another year? Because something great is awaiting us. It's bigger than we can understand. It's going to knock on our door. It's going to put a siege over our dwellings. It's going to peep from the windows. It's going to push us and press us. And it's going to intimidate us and put us under pressure till we move on and we realize that we've been in a dungeon, the dungeon of our own mind, our own consciousness. And when we break through and we figure out that we were thinking too little, too small, too dark, we'll realize that we were meant for something bigger, something greater. And you know what? One of the major inclination that are called the evil inclination is the desire to keep it all the same. Just, dear God, leave it all the same. Don't move anything. Leave me the same. Don't change anything. If you're trying to fight it, change, transformation, evolution, improvement, being smarter, being more knowledgeable, expanding your vision. Life is going to be very vicious towards you. Not because life is vicious. It's because you don't believe that something greater is waiting for you. The message of Abraham, the message of monotheism, the message, there's something greater waiting every day. This message must be adopted. You must adopt it. You must embrace it. You must make it part of your own thinking daily. When you make it part of your own thinking, you are part of the covenant. That covenant we mentioned with Noah. Now this covenant is moved on towards something even more, let's say, creative, proactive, and could be also more brutal. Why? You know, when you just come to work in a new company and everybody around is happy people with a lot of hope and excitement, and they're always learning and they're always trying and they're always pushing forward, and they always believe that tomorrow is going to be so much better, greater, enlightened more than yesterday, and of course more than the day before. And they go around and they do it, and you just came from a very low-key environment. You feel intimidated because you like to relax with your cup of coffee, maybe a cup of tea. You just like to do things in a slow pace and just, you know, look always for comfort, peace of mind, and relaxation. And then when you're surrounded with people with so much energy and hope, and they always feel that as much as they achieve, there's so much waiting for them behind the corner, and you have to go and reach out for it. This is intimidating for most people. But this is Abraham. And Abraham will never change. Abraham created the framework. And we are just simply subjects for that framework. We have to choose daily. Be part of the blessing or be part of the curse. And the blessing and the curse are two sides of the same coin. You simply believe that things are changing, things are better, things are going to be better. You anticipate it, you work for it, you invite it, you summon it, you learn about it, you try all the time because you know, why do I read the Torah? To become better, to change today what I never changed before. And I'm always waiting for something new, and I'm not trying to hold on to the past. If I do that, I move on with Abraham. I carry the same covenant, the commitment of humanity to transform this world into a better place day by day, hour by hour. You do that, especially nowadays, you'll be a blessing to the world. Yes, you cannot be popular by everyone. You can't, if everybody, you know what they say, if you live long and you never had an enemy, it means you did nothing. Because when you do something, how do you know you're doing something great? You have a lot of opponents because people are intimidated by you moving on. They're intimidated by your hopefulness. They're intimidated by your bright look at life because they know they should do the same, but they're too lazy, too mean, or too negative to admit that. So they try to find what's wrong with you and why is it your presence is intimidating. And they try to find what's wrong with you. Everybody who would follow that message of Abraham will go through the same experience. You can't do great things and stay just popular and everybody would like you, right? You know, this is the same, the story. So on the outer side, when we're talking about Abraham and whoever came out and followed the covenant, and the covenant, we spoke about it in Parashat Noach, the covenant is that you want greatness, you have to follow some commitments for honesty, integrity, perseverance, hope, positivity, unconditional desire to move and change yourself, and never ever put the shame and the blame on others, because that's idol worshiping. Idol worshiping means that what can I do? It's not in my power. Yeah, a lot of things are not in my power, but my attitude is always in my power. I didn't say that I have to be the person who's doing great stuff that everybody's excited about. I said, I have to have the great attitude and to have a positive, optimistic, loving attitude. You have to maintain that daily. You have to upgrade it daily. You have to fight for it daily. If you don't, it's going to fall apart. It can even be measured scientifically nowadays. Because the people really do it great, they simply follow those same rules because that's how this world is structured. So to make from Abram a great nation and to make him blessed and to have a great name and to be a blessing to all the families of the earth 4,000 years later, and this idea is still in discussion all around the world. How many people did not ever hear about Abraham? Wow. And it's 4,000 years later. How many people do we remember from 4,000 years ago? 3,000 years ago? Very few. Most of them, they were somehow connected to the journey of Abraham and his descendants. And the people who carry that message, they started to be carried when God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha, move on, get on the journey, because life is a journey. Whoever thinks that life is a cul-de-sac, which means it's a dead end, a nice, maybe a nice, you know, in many suburbs, a dead end street is very quiet. The kids can ride bicycles without any disturbances. It's nice. Nothing really exciting is happening over there. You know, a lot of people dream about finding themselves in that place, that end. No, being a human being means always being on the road, always being on the go, always. And if you try to fight it, that will be very painful. Human beings, the Talmud is calling them walkers, people who walk. Only angels are being called standing. An angel is a being that was created for one thing, for one purpose. Human beings don't have a purpose, just one action to do. They have so many purposes and they have to find a new purpose every day. What does it mean? You have to extend your purpose, expand your purpose, update your purpose. The way you see your purpose in your vision when you're 10 years old, of course, it won't be like when you're 20, or when you're 30, and when you're 40. But if you don't upgrade the vision, the purpose, the idea daily, God forbid, that's going to be painful. Especially nowadays, we are now in the year 5785. Whoever listened to some classes, we are like in the middle of a decade in which humanity is changing through very, very hard pressure. Whatever worked till now is falling apart. And that's not easy. And you know, people are trying to hold on to the past, to the world, just that amazing world that we were part of just before the corona. This world will never come back. It was heavily materialistic. We thought we are happy, we were not. It was high and by, and the waves of transformation and revolutions, it was not really revolutions, but things are moving towards a direction that we don't even can understand. Why? Because the world, the way it's going to look like in 5 years from now, we have no idea. We cannot even imagine in our wildest dreams. So what should we do? We should follow Abraham. We should move on. And move on and keep up moving. Don't try to hold to the past. That's going to be so painful. Move on with anticipation, with resilience, with excitement, with a commitment, Brit, a commitment to change and transform. So this was just a shallow explanation of the parasha. Now let's go deeper to the Zohar of this parasha. And we're starting with Zohar Perusha Sulam, the Sulam commentary. Verse 4. Rabbi Yose Patach, Rabbi Yose opened. Always like the study of the Zohar is they opened. Open what? Another frame of thinking, another revelation, another window to another level of awareness. And he's quoting from Psalms 44, 84. Ma yedidut mishkenotecha Adonai Tzvaot. The friendship of your dwellings, the Lord of hosts, what does that mean? Kama hit lo nivnei nashal istakla b'forchana dekudja. Human beings must contemplate on the work, the worship of the Holy Blessed be He. The Hakol bnei nasha lo yadei ve lo mistaklei al ma kayem al ma. All human beings, they don't really know, they're not really able to watch, see, understand what is the purpose of the world. Ve'inun al ma kayemin, and what's the purpose of their existence? When God created the world, Avad Shmaya me'esh u'mimayim mitarvim kachada. He created the universe from water and air, and the synthesis of both water and air together. Velahavugalde, and in the beginning, they did not crystallize. They did not materialize. It was what the ancients called hiulik, just pure energy. Ulvatar aglidu, then they started to get a form. Ve'kaimu beruha ila'a. And they were established in the upper spirit. We'll see what does it mean. Umitaman shatil al mayim. From that moment, the world has been established, like being planted. Le'kaima samchin, and it was standing on the proper pillars. Ve'inu samchin, and those pillars, la'kaimin, ela ba'urucha. They exist only in the spiritual dimension. Uveshata de'urucha yisalak, and when that pillar in the spiritual dimension is gone, kol ho merafefim v'zayin, everything starts to shake up. Ve'alma irtat, and the world is moving, shaking. Hadar d'chiv, that's what it says in the book of Job, chapter 9. Hamargiz eretz v'imkoma, the one who upsets the earth from its place. V'amudea itpalatzun, and its pillars are like shaking. V'chol ha'kayim alo haitan, everything is established, standing on the Torah. Dechad Yisrael mishtadlei b'orayta, when the Israelites are really occupying themselves in with the Torah, mitkayem olma, the world can be standing. The world can be established, can stay stabilized. V'inun kaimim, and they, v'samchin kaimar ba'etrayu, and the pillars support the world, b'kiyum mashlim, in a lasting existence. However, what is that about? And Azor is explaining that we have to understand that the story of Abram is a much deeper story. This is the story of the evolutionary process of the universe before even there were humans. And we know that in the beginning, there were two forces, the force of the plus, the force of the minus, right and left. They're being called by the ancients water and fire. We're not talking about water, H2O, and fire. We're talking about two original forces. These two forces, we know that water and fire, they cannot live together in harmony. They simply are fighting with each other. Each one of them is trying to overcome the other. When you put water and fire together, either that the water put off the fire, or that the fire evaporate all the water, and in that case, the water can go wherever they want without limitation, or the fire. Like two wet things, when they get mixed with each other, they're trying to break into each other's place. Till something happens. What happens? Rabbi Ashla calls it Shemitgala Komat Chasadim, Ayotzet al Masach Tiferet. Till then comes a force, a third force, water, fire, and then comes a third force. And the power of the third force is when there is an awakening from the human aspect, from us, an awakening of a power that we create on our own. It's called Komat Chasadim. It's called the light of loving kindness. It's called also Abraham. That power of chesed, that power of love that is coming out of stress, that is coming in addition, in spite of stress, negativity, what we call fire. When we humans create, from our point of view, the force of loving kindness, like Abram. Abram is the power of loving kindness. Where is he coming from? He's coming to Canaan from Haran. Haran is the name of a place, but Haran is also in Hebrew the word for anger, wrath. Okay? So when out of that havoc, stress, anger, upset, when Abram comes out of it, when that power is being awakened by a human mind, that power is called also a curtain, is called also the force of that creates synthesis between the water and the fire, the plus and the minus. When this force is coming into activity, then reality can solidify. It's like in the beginning, in the universe, there were only electrons and protons. There was darkness. You know, if you study like the beginning of the creation, there were only particles. The energy of fire was so strong, the particles were not attaching to each other, and there was total darkness, and there was nothing, and there was everything. It was like very intense energy, but there was no matter because two particles could not hold on to each other. Only when the particles could get together. And what is an atom made of? Three forces: the plus, protons, the minus, electrons, and something that can hold them together and solidify them. Without it, they never can solidify. The central column, the neutron. Only when that is coming into power, only there will be a solidification and reality will start to take shape. But that's a process. It's called evolution. The universe is a result of an evolution. The same way it existed in the upper universe, which means in a universe that is beyond the ability of our mind to perceive and understand, but it's still continuing to today. Why? Because, you know, can we explain the way we live to people from a century ago? Can we explain them? If we meet somebody from a century ago, can we explain them a society that is living on smartphones? When you have phones, but you don't have any physical wires? And your access to information is beyond, can get you really crazy because the flood of information can, you know, basically burn all, a lot of people. And a lot of people use that flood of information in order to make a living. And that's a lot to understand. It's like humanity is going through more and more revolutions in which we have to reinvent ourselves, the way we perceive reality, the way we perceive what is possible, what is not possible. And economy is being invented every few years. Science is being invented every few years. The devices we use are being reinvented every few years. And it's more crazy we can even imagine. I can always come back to, you know, reading that science fiction book by Isaac Asimov. I think I read it in the 90s. Late 90s. And that book was written in the 60s. And it speaks about 2300 and about the hero is running away. And he's being chased, of course, like any thriller. And he's looking for a phone booth. Phone booth? I don't know. When did you ever see a phone booth the last time? We are in 2024. And when was the last time you used a phone booth? Well, you know, even the greatest scientists or writers of science fiction cannot invent it tomorrow. So we learn from the Zohar that humanity is an ongoing lech lecha, We invent ourselves, and we invent ourselves again and again and again and again. And there will be always people who would try to stop the transformation. There will always, for every revolution, there will be counter-revolution. And what happens to them? They just disappear. They be like the revolutions are stronger, too powerful. Yes, there are so many movements who are trying to pull us back to the 50s of the 20th century, to the 16th century, to the 8th century, and maybe even farther back. But this is impossible. Never happened. Yeah. Every time we see such a reaction, is we realize there is an aspect of humanity that is already expired, but it's fighting its last moments. Meanwhile, it
La
makes
capelluce contează mai mult.
it is making a lot of mess. And we have to realize that only if you see from a brighter spectrum point of view, you can really realize that even the downfalls, even the collapse, even the disasters that humanity is experiencing, finally, always something good come out of it. And that's why the Zohar is saying people don't really understand. What are the foundations of the universe? So why do we have to understand that those three forces are so powerful? They manifest in our own state of mind, which means, as we learned so many times, you have the right column, the chesed, which is the power to give. And the fastest way to connect to the godly forces that run the universe is by giving. But you also have to connect to the receiving, because the purpose of the creator of the universe, the easiest way to define him, if you can't define him, is giving. But the easiest way to define the creation is receiving. And how do you bridge between the two? That's the third force, the third pillar the Zohar is talking about. That pillar is that when you give, you realize you're receiving. And when you receive, you realize you're also giving. Isn't that what business is about? You give service, you help people, and you make a living. Okay? You move on because when you give, you receive. When you receive, you give. The synthesis. Living in a place that is called today win-win state of mind. That is integrity, that will always be honesty, integrity, and basically a message, the message of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Abraham, chesed, giving. The plus. Isaac, gevurah, judgment, boundaries, and tiferet, Jacob. That's the ability to synthesize, to be able to give when you're receiving, to receive while you're giving, till you realize that we all one. Because without people to give to, who are you? Nothing. Without the people that give you and pay you or whatever, you're nothing. It's like we are one when we share with each other our needs, our qualities. And the more we do that, like we do it today, never in history before, humans shared with each other in such a speed. Somebody has something nice in one city, and another person, thousands and thousands of kilometers away from there, reads that somewhere on an app or a site, and you're looking for it, and he sends him a message and says, "Okay, send it to me." And he pays him, and he sends it to him, and wow, This is amazing. So, like never before in history, people replace with each other. You give what you've got, and you receive what you need. And you see people supporting each other across boundaries, borders, huge destinations. It's amazing. And it's getting stronger and stronger. And at the same time, people start to also replace and share ideas. And this is intimidating because it's very hard for us to listen. It's very hard to talk. And it's very hard to share and to understand. But this is the next level. So we'll continue. And as I was saying, why does he say Lech Lecha? Well, then move on. But there are other words in Hebrew to say Lech. Although Lech Lecha is a very simple way to tell somebody, get on, get out of here, move on. However, Lech Lecha is also a number, the Zohar says. It's a 100. Every soul comes to this world to bring to the world 100 blessings. Why 100? Because the world was created by 10 times God said, let there be. 10 sefirot, 10 emanations. Each one of them is divided by 10. So it's 10 by 10, gives you 100. Which means when we speak about Lech Lecha, when is it that you really move on? When you reveal something positive. But if you do not reveal something positive, you didn't move on. You went backwards. You collapsed. Oh, I moved on. No, you didn't. You didn't move on. You ran away. You are, look at you. You're negative. You're pessimistic. You lost hope. You didn't move on. You didn't really move on. You went backwards. You're less happy than you've been before. Moving on means revealing blessings in the world. How do I know I moved on? I'm happier. I'm nicer. I'm more capable of loving. That means I moved on. Lech Lecha means that I brought to the world some blessings that that's my destiny as a human being to bring on every soul comes to the world with a mission. To bring to the world another aspect of those 100 blessings, of the supreme blessings. And that's why the Zohar says, Lech Lecha, move on from your country, from the Garden of Eden. Every human soul came from the Garden of Eden. And since the soul, kivan shema olechet uva la'olam, since the soul is descending from the Garden of Eden and is coming to this physical world from the Garden of Eden, that's why the soul has the power to draw to the world 100 blessings every day, like the sefirot, the emanations in the Garden of Eden. From your birthplace, so that's from the tree of life. It's inclusive of all different aspects of humanity. The 12 tribes, 12 signs of the zodiac, each one of them is divided to 12 houses. It's endless. Each one of us is different because each one of us has to bring the world another blessing. And that's why, and God said to Avram, says the Zohar, Avram is a soul. God speaks to the soul in the Garden of Eden. Move on. Go down. Go down to earth so you can reveal daily the 100 blessings I gave you. So if you understand just where it's going to, it's speaking about the journey of the soul. and Lalechet Arz Knaan. They meant to go to the land of Canaan. Okay, the Zohar explains. What does that mean? Why didn't they go directly? Shoel, ma'o atam shavah mitakeh b'Haran? Why they didn't go directly to Canaan? Why did they stay so long in Haran? Why didn't go there immediately to Canaan? Ki ha'ketuv omer, because it says, and they settled over there. And the answer is that Abram did not know that he has to go to Canaan. He was trying to find the right purpose, the right way. Remember, he was a pioneer. Nobody did that journey before him. He was a trendsetter. He was the first hacker into the upper system of the Tree of Life. He had to sort it out to find what's the right permutation formula of forces. And how do we know? Because as we said, Haran means anger, wrath. When do you have anger and wrath? When things are not balanced, when things are not appropriate, when things did not find their place yet. So Abraham was trying to evaluate all the forces of the universe. He was already at that level. And slowly, slowly, he found the right direction. It took him a pretty long time, a bunch of years. But when he found it, because he meant well, because he was looking for what? For doing good. Why? Because realizing monotheism is about knowing there is a creator, the only creator that is bigger than everything, that is surrounding everything, that is fulfilling everything. There's nothing but him. And his message is good, is love. Nothing but love, kindness, and giving. And we have to take the opportunities he's giving us so we can reveal that love on our own. That's our journey. And that journey means it never ends. Every day, through our jobs of working on our spirituality, we reveal another aspect of our calling, of our vision, of our journey. It never stops as long as you live. As long as you live, there's still something to reveal. There's something you don't know yet that you have to understand. And it's not about knowing how many stars in the sky. This is futile. It's about perceiving reality in a broader level, in a more loving level. And that's why Haran means anger, because Abraham had to figure out all the judgments so he realizes what is he running away from. And when we got it finally, he got the okay, the green light to take off from Haran into the land of Canaan. But that's only after he had the passion to connect to something positive, something holy, something higher, something more balanced, something that is more a synthesis. How do you know you're balanced? You always find how to bridge between your need to give and know your need to receive. And they don't contradict each other. And the result that finally he could get himself out of the dark place that is called Haran. Haran is anger, as we said. So there is a place like this in Turkish Kurdistan. But we're not talking about a physical location. We talk about a mental level that can't be manifest in a physical location. Why would somebody get stuck in one town, one village? Because there's something you have to learn, and that's the place you have to learn it. When you learn it, you figure out, you'll be out of there in no time. Don't try to get out of there. try to get out and move on with your consciousness, then you'll see the moment your thinking has been transformed to something higher with a bigger trust in the giving of the creator, you'll find yourself in no time in another land, in another place, in another setup of relationships. So this is what it says. That because Abram achieved that level of consciousness, he could not hold on to that place. It is called the land of Israel. Because this is the place, the land of Israel, you can receive that state of mind. This is like when you reach that place of maturity, of passion to the truth and to love. When you come to the land of Israel, you realize what you were looking for all your life. You didn't know about it beforehand. Why? Because it's like a computer. Before the new upgrade came in, the computer could not figure out how is it to think in the upgraded way. That's an upgrade. And the upgrade, what we learn from the Kabbalists is, Yagata umatzata. You make all the effort, and then it will come from the most unexpected direction. Because if you know what you're looking for exactly, you won't be looking for it. And you won't be still making the effort. But when you make the quite enough effort, it will be there. Reaching Israel is not just a physical location. For a lot of people, it is a physical location. But for some people, it's intimidating. And for some, especially Jerusalem, for some people, this is an amazing revelation you cannot explain to others till you have to come and experience it by yourself. This is exactly what the journey of human beings is about. It's about moving forward, about putting the effort all the time. The message is that there is a power that all humans must be attached to, that all humans must be committed to, the power to reveal that balance that when you give, you get. When you get, you give. When you see other people, you see your teammates, you understand that they need you and you need them. They're not your competition. They are your society. Beforehand, Rabbi Ashlag is saying, you lived in a little tiny village in the mountains. You didn't need anybody else because you created everything you needed. Every community created its own food and building, and you didn't need more than that. Clothing. Okay, there was some commerce, but you could live without it. It was luxury. Today, just look at one object you're using, a device, electric device, a table, or a chair. They're made of so many pieces, and each one of them could have come from another part of the world. And maybe the materials came from one part of the world, but they were processed in another part of the world, and they were put together in another part of the world. We all need each other. And when we realize that, we stop fighting each other. We start cooperating with each other. Life will be so much more amazing. But that needs another step in moving on with the consciousness of loving, kindness, appreciation, and more than everything else, the commitment, the covenant with a God, the God that created everybody, all of us. And that's why we all have the right for happiness. That's the beginning of everything. If you don't have that, you're lost. And we're still in the journey. Thank you so much. And embrace yourself, hold tight, move on, because this year is going to be full of so many challenges and so many shifts forwards. If you are really exercising daily, that will be an amazing. Like when you're surfing and have this huge wave and you enjoy moving so fast and so up and so high forward. And if you don't know how to surf, it's like, wow, so scary. Let's be the surfers and not the ones who drown. Batsucha, good luck to everyone. Thank you.